Hello and welcome to Gaming Times, your weekly video game podcast about
that gaming life.
I am one of your hosts, Isaac, and I'm joined by Patrick.
Man, what a week, what a day. Gaming is just, it's kind of good. I'm not gonna lie, it's kind of good. I'm eating good over here. I mean, I'm eating good. I'm well fed over here. Well fed.
Well, that's good to hear, Patrick. For this show, we're gonna make it a little bit shorter today. That's okay. And then I just want to inform all the listeners that next week, because it is going to be Christmas over here in the States, we will not be having a show that's going to be releasing next Monday or this upcoming Monday. And we'll be catching you back the week after that. But for today, Patrick, I know I said there was a shorter show, but real quick, World Cup just wrapped up. Messi got it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that. Right? It came on Twitter, alerted me. So I had no choice but to see it.
And then did you see some of those, what was it, that Patriots Raiders game?
No, I saw the lateral.
Yeah. That was so that backwards pass to an interception to a touchdown to lose the game. And all they had to do was just, I don't know why they were trying so hard. They were tied. And it was like, yeah, just take it overtime.
Sometimes you wonder how well people are coached through, like, for certain things they execute, where I'm just like, what are you doing?
But that was one I was saying, like, if you don't have it, just I wouldn't even run that play. Let's just go to overtime.
They just go to overtime. Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But that's my opinion. And then the Miami Bills game was pretty good, too.
What about the Vikings comeback, though? Right.
Oh, yeah. The Colts crumbling.
Oh, my goodness, bro. That's insane. And then shout out to my 49ers. The third string looking right. I can't believe Brock Purdy looking like he's kind of legit.
Yeah, not exactly dude, the overpowered one. The third string quarterback is playing better than Russell Wilson.
Bro, that's it. Oh, man. Oh, man. I feel so. You know, I'm not a big fan of the Broncos fans because, you know, I live out here and I've been to the stadium. And to me, it might as well be Philly. Like, the fans aren't exactly the best where I've been. But I do feel kind of bad, man. That dude got, like, knocked out. The O-line's not great. There's, like, some kind of war going on. The you can see the morale's not all there.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they hired a coach thinking they were going to get Aaron Rodgers. Instead, they did. Like, it's bad, man. It's bad.
Oh, yeah. Well, good news is the tickets might start getting a little bit cheaper.
Yeah, maybe you can go, right? Like, yeah. I can't. I won't go to that stadium anymore unless I'm in a suite. That's how bad my experiences have been.
Oh, wow. But, yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
But for today, Patrick, for this lovely podcast about video games, we're gonna be talking about mainly kind of Square Enix and kind of their choice to, or not kind of, their choice not to bring their remastered edition to Xbox. And then we'll be ending the show kind of talking about online games and their servers being shut down, spurred on by Ubisoft shutting down a lot of Rock Band Epic shutting down a bunch of Rock Band servers and Unreal Tournament games. But, Patrick, before we get to any of that, what have you been playing?
As usual, been playing some Apex, you know. Every once in a while, I try to upload some clips at times, Pat, on Twitter. But I was playing a little Vantage for a little while. Then I've been recently just trying to play Octane, you know what I mean? Just trying to mess around with some other legends to kind of see, like, you know, let me just play around. And actually, I've been getting wins with everybody, so I even got a Fuse win the other day. So.
Oh, wow. Well, I think that's what's beautiful with a game like that, too, or even something like Overwatch, where if you're stuck with one legend or one hero so often, to mix up the game, it's really easy. Just pick someone else, and it almost changes the game completely, right?
It literally does, because now I have to loot, like, properly. I have to, like, get what I need. I can't just loba cheat myself the way to what I need, right? Mm-hmm. I have to do other things. But it also changes the way you attack, because you have a jump pad, so you can get in and out if you need to. You have the speed boost. You have so many different things, and it's just like, wow, this is definitely a different way to play. And I switched up a couple weapons. I'm still an R301 Car 98 combination dude. Like, that's my combo. But I've been recently playing with a little more EVA 8, a little Wingman when I'm playing Vantage. Just, you know, messing around with some stuff. So it's pretty good. It's pretty good. And then I've been playing Persona 5, not as much as I wanted to, but I got some new character to join my party, to join the crew.
No, which one is it?
Sagabakun, I believe. It's, the dude from, I'm still in Madarame's palace, the art dealer.
It's the tortured artist guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sagabakun, I think is his name. But so I'm still doing that. Hopefully I can. He just met the other version of Madarame, so, like, he just joined, and then hopefully I can, like, carry out the rest of the palace and do all that here soon. Man, the game just offers you so much in the experience. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. You know, Patrick, you still have like a solid like 80 hours to go. Oh, easy. Like 100 hours to go. Time. If you really want to, you could probably stretch it to 100 hours.
I don't. It's me. So I never rush JRPGs. Like, I'm trying to collect like personas. I'm trying to like do all this stuff. I'm trying to find out what weaknesses I need as I go through and trying to find the consistencies there. Then I like crap or something. Bro, I am not a dude who plays JRPGs to please like someone else by completion rate. Like, I am there to enjoy and take in the JRPG. That's me. Like, I'm not like, oh, let me rush through the game, because then it's not fun. Like, I just want to sit back, take in the story, take in the mechanics, do what I want to do, and I'm like, all right, cool, this is what's up. And also, when I finish it, you know, games that have New Game Plus, I may come back and do that later, and then I'm Boss Hog at that point. Like, I'm Rick James, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to steamroll everything, but it's just, I just like to have fun with it, man. But yeah, that's where my time's been spent.
That's good. For me, Patrick, I've been still playing a little bit of Hades, a little bit of Rocket League, but mainly I've been focused on Ragnarok. And I know we talked about this last show about playing as the kid.
Yeah.
And I got to that first gameplay part. It's good. It's solid.
Okay.
It definitely starts off like a Mary Jane, Miles Morales, Spider-Man kind of bit, or a Ashley, right, from Resident Evil. It starts off that way, but they fleshed out his whole combat system. Of course, his skill tree and his things like that aren't as in-depth as Kratos, but he has a whole combat system that is extraordinarily satisfying to play. You know, obviously, it's based around his bow and everything, but it was very satisfying to actually play as him.
Oh, okay, good. That's good news. Good news, because I heard differently, so I'm glad to hear that your experience was not that way.
Yeah, so far, at least. It was only got to the first bit, but I really enjoyed it.
I really did.
And I think there's nice, like, little funny things, too, that they add where, you know, Kratos, for, like, your standard chest, he would go and, like, punch it to break it open. And so Atreus, he tries to do it, and he just hurts his hand.
I saw a clip of that where he's like, and he's like, it's like not as easy as it looks or something like that. Yeah.
One of the dwarves were with him, and I was like, oh, that's great. Other than that, the story has taken an interesting turn. I think they did a great job with the marketing, I'll say that. I don't want to spoil too much, but they did a good job with the marketing and not giving away too much of the story, which
that's
is
always good.
Great to hear, because there's been times, especially with the Uncharted games, because those are some of my favorite games. I would follow them so closely, and then they kind of, like, the big moments are kind of given away either in the trailers or the previews, and then when you go play them, they're not as, in my opinion, epic as they should be. But Patrick, other than that, yeah, pretty solid. I'd be okay. We've, you know, been busy with work and life and everything. Do you want to go talk about pickups at all? Oh, well,
yeah.
Before I move on, I did get the PlayStation did the year review thing, Patrick. Mm-hmm. I got mine. I guess it just shows my age. I haven't been playing video games. I did not play a lot of video games this last year, at least in my opinion.
I told you, like, it changed. Look, if you saw me when I was 12, bro, it was on, bro. I was gaming on anything and everything. It was great. Mm-hmm. In my current age, yeah, bro, I have to read, like, I've been reading books lately. I have to read for work because I'm in IT. I have to. So, like, when I treasure my gaming moments. That's why, like, I understand that I can't play with friends like I once did. But I do miss that because, like, that's the maximum gaming, you know, enjoyment for me, right? Or I play a JRPG by myself and have great time. Don't get me wrong. But if I'm playing, like, a multiplayer game and I can get on with friends, it's like, yes, because it's so hard, bro.
Yes.
It is so hard to get it in nowadays. So I totally feel you. Like, I'm sure mine is going to be decent because it's still me, but it's nothing like it. It, you know, whoever responsibilities and, you know, things that are important. So, like, yeah, I totally understand, bro. Totally.
So, Patrick, any cool pickups?
Yeah. I was going to talk about one. I got the Death's Door Ultimate Edition for Switch and for, I think it's PS5, actually. So I got both of those. They came in, and I was like, oh, pretty cool, because I wanted to have that game physically. I bought it digitally for Xbox a while ago, but it is nice to have it physically and add it to the collection. It's the only thing I'll talk about this week.
Awesome, man. For me, obviously, nothing much. There was the Diablo 4 Collector's Edition that was announced, which is pretty cool, but didn't have the game. And then was it the Pixel Art 2, which we're going to talk about, the Pixel Collector's Edition? I think it was, like, stealthily launched on Square Store.
Bro.
And isn't it, like, stupid expensive, too?
Bro, okay, so I am super salty, and I know it's our first topic. I don't know if you want to roll in.
We'll roll right in. We can roll in.
I am super salty about this whole thing. Not just it not coming to Xbox. That's problem number one. Problem number two is it's stealth drop and it is a Square store exclusive for the physical version, they said. So the only way for me to get it is to go through Square store. So I'm like, oh, let me go order my copies, right? So it's $75 for the regular version, which I would have happily paid for, by the way. I'm not even going to front. So you can get either PS4 or Switch. It's like $75. Okay, I'll pay it. They're gone, bro. They're sold out. You can be added to a waiting list. Then if you want the collector's edition, it's $260, bro.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, what are we talking about? God of War has like a statue and all this other crazy stuff, bro. So it comes with a vinyl, I think, and it comes with like stuff. I don't even care. That's expensive, bro. And so then I was like, all right, well, okay, so PS4, that's sold out. You can only get that on Switch right now. And I'm like, do I really want $260 just for this physical version? And then I'm thinking to myself, so that means the scalped version is going to cost anywhere from $125 to $150 probably for this game?
Mm-hmm.
Man, this is really, like, I just got Valkyrie Elysium today for PS5 because it was like on super sale somewhere. But this really might be my end to Square. Like that, once I get that Pixel Remaster, I might really hang up my controller in terms of Square. Like, I just have no desire to play their silly games anymore, bro. I really don't. I don't. And I know people are like, everybody says that. No, you don't understand. If you listen to the show, you know. I'm pretty much, once I get that Pixel Remaster, if I buy anything from them, it will be on extreme discount. I promise you that. I promise. Because this is ridiculous. And I'm actually upset. And as we're going to talk about later, when you start talking about digital-only stuff, we've seen Nintendo with digital-only products. We've seen that. So that's not real dependable. And then Sony is a little more dependable. I'm not going to say they're quite full Xbox, but I'll give them their due. They're a little more dependable. But even still, I want the physical copy of the game in my collection. That's what I want.
Yes.
And it's
because you want to. You want to have it there just in case you don't have access to the internet, just for, I don't know, for some reason, you know, your whole hard drive gets wiped. You don't have to download it again, or at least sometimes you don't. Nowadays, you know, you'll get a digital disk and it'll be like, oh, here's a 1 gig download code on the disk. And it'll download the rest of the game, which is weird, but.
It's the worst. That's what. So I'm just like, okay, I don't know what they're doing. Like, I have no idea what they're doing. But Square needs a real kick in the teeth. Like, I mean the company. Nobody personally, right? The company needs some juice injected in them because I don't know what they're doing, bro. Like, I really don't know what's on their mind in terms of like, oh, let's make this game that we know everybody wants, bro.
Yeah,
and let's make it hardware, or let's make the physical version super hard to come by only through our store and stealth dropped. What? Who does that?
What, do you think there's any what I want to say, errors? Maybe it was an oversight, or do you think it was just like, no, we're just gonna do this?
I think they were like, we're just gonna do it. I think they're just so disconnected at this point. Like, I don't know what they're trying to do anymore. Because for a while, we kept seeing games were not meeting sales expectations, right? It'd be like, oh, man, yeah, these games don't meet sales expectations. Yeah, these games are sales expectations. So I was like, all right, well, I mean, okay, like, the game didn't meet sales expectations, but then you don't release them everywhere. So I'm like, well, what are we saying? You know what I mean? Like, I don't understand what we're saying. And then now, it's just like, okay, if you want physical games, yeah, no, that's a collector's item now. And if you don't catch us when we stealth drop it, you're just out of luck. Yo, man.
That's
a problem.
I wonder if anything has to do with, it is $75 for, like you said, like that. I don't know. That just stole, like, just, I just, that hit me again. I was like, oh yeah, that's $75 for the standard version of it. My God. Two, it's all on waiting list now too. So it was stealth dropped. And then even for that's both of them, for the Switch and the PlayStation,
The only one you can order is the collector's edition for Switch. That's it, bro. At least at the time I attempted to order the game.
Yeah, I just looked up and they're both gone right now. But, you know, these are the standards editions. And that's
they're gone. They were gone when I looked.
Oh, they were gone too? Or when you look at
the standard editions were already gone. The only edition left is the collector's edition for Switch when I looked. So the PlayStation 4, both editions were gone. And the Switch,
which blows my mind that the PlayStation 4 one went out first, but...
Yeah. Same here, bro. I just don't, man, as a fan of that, and it's funny because we've been talking about it on the show, right? A lot of things don't normally hit me. Like, you know what I mean? I'm just like, and technically I still have all the originals every time they've been remade, but that's not the point. I even have the old versions on Steam. So I can still play the old versions that they released. But I'm just here to say this one is the one that's burned me with Square. Like,
this is the one. And I completely agree with you, Patrick. As someone who's not even like a big fan. So first I want to talk about people who grew up playing these games. They make it sound like, or make it seem like they don't have a Switch, or they are either going to be playing a Switch or a PlayStation, and none of them switched over to Xbox, right? Like you said, Xbox yours is your primarily console of choice, right?
Mm-hmm.
A game. And it's like, well, why aren't you bringing it to Xbox? And then on top of it, knowing you, Patrick, even at $75, you might have got one on a discount or something, but you would have bought this game three times.
You already know. You already know what was coming because you know me. You already know I was ready to click on every standard version off top. It didn't even matter, bro. It could have been $100. I was ready to buy it, bro.
Yeah. I'm curious with that. Is it just like because Nintendo and Sony are a Japanese company? I think it's weird, too, that it's $75 not for the PlayStation 5, but for the PlayStation 4, which I guess... Actually, thinking through that a little bit, right? Maybe because there's just so much PlayStation 4s out there, and hopefully, I guess, if you buy this physical version, you can play it on your PlayStation 5. So I guess that kind of makes sense.
You don't need the power anyway because they're old titles. Yeah, that's why.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't need the extra power or whatever, the extra loading. It should load pretty fast anyway. But still, that just blows my mind that it's just, okay, like it's $75 still, I guess, because you're getting, what, how many games? Six?
Six total. Yeah. Well, that's what it cost on PC when it launched.
Oh, yeah.
And so I only bought six, to be clear. Like, so when it launched on PC, I went straight for six, right? I was like, okay, I'll buy six. I'll come back to the rest of y'all. You know what I mean? I'm not. Mm-hmm. Six is the one that is my personal favorite, right?
Yes.
But for this, I was like, okay, a console, the way they all really kind of launched, I'm so down. I'll buy them. I'll get them right now. You know what I mean? And I can't, bro. I can't get them. And I'm just like, what are you doing? This is easy money. This isn't even hard money.
Yeah. I think, too, what's here, too, technically, I guess, with $75, you divide by six, it's, you know, you get six games. Mm-hmm. It's about $12 per game or $13 per game. So that's not terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you know, doesn't matter. Do you think they'll ever do, like, a release with GameStop at all? Like, go through GameStop after this? Like, initial million through Square so Square can just get all that direct money and then later on release them on, you know, make another big hubbub, like, and have another pop. Or you're like, oh, available everywhere now. Or even something like Limited Run.
I hope it's not Limited Run. I'm not even gonna front. Like, no disrespect to Limited Run, but they take forever. So that'd be like getting a game and then waiting a year for it after. I don't want them to have it. Yeah, no disrespect intended, but there's always a hope that it'll come to a regular store. But to answer the question of do I think they'll do that, I actually don't. Square's weird right now, man. I don't know what's going on with them internally. I don't know what their projections are like. But here's the thing I want to point out, right? You have a game that you stealth dropped that sold out, bro. It sold out. So, like, what were your projections? And if you're the only one selling it, why not just take orders to your heart's content? You're the one selling it.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me either, right? Like, so it's like, oh yeah, it's a first party game from them, right? And they're like, oh, we're gonna limit it. Why? What is the point of limiting it?
I mean, Nintendo kind of did the same thing with the Mario collection, right?
The 3D All-Stars. But let me ask you this question though: they did limit it, but first let me make this point: it did hit retailers though. That's number one. Mm-hmm. It hit every retailer. And number two, did you ever struggle to find one?
No, or at least when it was. During that window.
During the window, right? Did you ever struggle to find one? No. So the question would be, right, if they're going to release it to all the major retailers, I'll be happy. But I just hope that, you know, at some point, it's the one thing I always give Nintendo credit. If you look for a Nintendo game during its release period, it's around, bro. I've never struggled to find a Pokemon. I've never struggled to find whatever Nintendo first party game they released at the time it released.
At least the standard editions too.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, I'm talking about just a copy of the game during its normal launch window period of the game. I've never struggled. This game we're talking about, it's like, oh, we're going to launch it, and I got to go straight to eBay, bro, or Mercari, or wherever your auction site of choice is, or whatever your reseller is. I'm like, that's garbage, man. And you're always complaining about sales, yet you got a gold bar in your hand, and you're trying to limit it. For what?
Yeah. For no reason.
That's why I say Square is the one. I don't want nothing to do with them after this, man. I really don't. I'm not saying I'll never buy a Square game, but it will be discounted. You mark my words. It will definitely be discounted, and steeply so, more than likely. I'm never paying retail price for another Square game. And I don't even care about their zeitgeist anymore, because that was the game that I am personally stung by. I said it a long time ago. I made it very well clear. Now I'm personally stung by Square. I'd rather go play Sega's games, which is Atlas and that crew. I'd rather go play Nicolas games. I'd just rather go play somebody else's JRPGs at this point. Like, that one burned me pretty good, man. I'm not going to lie. I'm not very... I don't take things very personally normally, but you're this talking about your history. Yeah, I'm definitely different in this regard. And I just don't have the desire to watch them anymore. That's why I say, to jump on them like I once did. Now, did I not notice exclusivity as a kid? Yeah, but the hardware was different for Final Fantasy VI when it dropped. Sega and Super Nintendo were very different systems, right? There's a lot at play there. Today, everything's running on... was x86 architecture. Like, there's no excuses anymore. All that stuff's gone. And as I've always been clear in my stance, that I'm not one for limiting games to a gamer. I never have been one to do that. And to just exclude Xbox, problem number one, but now to exclude me from the physical versions that I want, because I like physical games. Yeah, I'm a dinosaur like that. Now I can't even get that unless I potentially go through a reseller. Man, get out of here, man. That's garbage, man.
Yeah.
And I even checked Europe, by the way. Europe was sold out of all of them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I didn't go to Japan, but I went to Europe for sure. I went to Europe Square Store, too. Yeah. Nope. Didn't work out.
So, Patrick, do you think there was some type of deal that Nintendo and Sony made with Square, or Square made with Nintendo or Sony and Sony?
Here's what I'm going to say. And this is a real hot button, right? Because, you know, everybody likes to say, oh, I hate it. I truly believe Sony. This is my opinion. I have no evidence. Not me. This is my opinion. I truly believe Sony is paying Square to not bring games to Xbox. Do we even have, outside of Crisis Core, do we even have an upcoming release for Xbox from Square?
Let's see. I don't know. Patrick, keep thinking.
Yeah, and that's why I say that, right? So Nintendo, they're a big giant thing.
Forspoken is PlayStation 5 exclusive. Octopath Traveler?
No, that was not announced for Xbox, which is why the community got upset, because Octopath Traveler 1 is on Xbox. But 2 was only announced for Switch and PlayStation. Look into it.
I mean, Patrick, it's PlayStation 4 or PlayStation 5, okay?
yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. There's no that I can think of. And I'm sure you're clicking away. There's no announced game for Square Enix that I'm even aware of that's coming to PlayStation.
Excuse me, to Xbox.
It's coming to Xbox.
Hey, Patrick, you can get the collector's edition for Octopath Traveler 2, though, for only $180 for the PlayStation 5. It looks okay. You get little mini bust things. You get a CD. Instead of a vinyl, you get a CD and an art. That's actually not bad. It comes with a beautiful box.
I mean, I really would like to get Octopath Traveler 2, but I have a problem with Square right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. They don't even have a game announced, bro.
Xbox. I don't think they do. And Final Fantasy 16 is exclusive. Yep. What about the? What the hell? What is this? The final bar line is that's rhythm.
That's the rhythm.
Yeah. Is that coming to Xbox?
Nope. Let's see. I don't think so.
Nope. You're right. Yeah. Holy crap, dude.
That's, you see what I'm saying? Square is on one, bro. And those are all games they
It's so weird, because I know we kind of talked about this before, but it's so weird because because the 360 just sold so well and came out first, but the Final Fantasy, 12 or 13, right? Final Fantasy 13 came out for Xbox and PlayStation.
Yeah, 11 did as well. That was a big thing, remember, because it was the online one.
11 did as well. Yeah, and so it seems like not even last generation, but generation before, they switched to 360. I mean, they switched to going everywhere. And maybe, Patrick, in that era, there wasn't a lot of interest in JRPGs on the 360 because that was very known for the FPS, you know, Call of Duty, Halo Bros, right? But I'm not generalizing here, too.
Oh, no, I get what you're saying.
And then with the Xbox One, since the PlayStation 4 just walloped it so hard, especially in the beginning, maybe they didn't see the benefit of doing that, and maybe they're just kind of using old data now, I guess, to make future, you know, I'm a business person. The last two console generations, this is our data for previewing our games for Xbox. It's so low. Why bring it? Why not do it? Why are we going to take it over there? But to your point, Patrick, if the systems are damn near the same anyway, you know, they're all pretty much mini computers. I'm truly curious on the cost of bringing your game to both consoles. Because even if, you know, oh my God, our last Final Fantasy game or last Square game, RPG game only sold 500,000 copies on a Xbox system, wouldn't that at least pay back any fees or anything that Microsoft would charge to bring that game over there?
You would think at this point, even Microsoft might even throw them a bone in terms of money. But to be clear, on the one, right, don't forget you have Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, 12. Because I have all the, I may not have 8, but I have 7, 9, and 12. Those are there. You have Octopath Traveler 1, that's there. So it's not like there's no precedent to see a game hit. There are sales. So my only pushback was, what I thought they would do is say, we're going to release this game on Xbox, but it's digital only. Like, we're not even going to print copies.
Yeah, that's fine,
you
know? Right?
So I'd have been like, okay, well, I'll take that, right? Like, I'm not upset that you don't have a physical on my platform of choice, because I can still play it. I'll get the physicals on the other platforms. That's fine. They didn't even do that. They were just like, yeah, bump them. And like I said, that's why, in my personal opinion, they're getting paid. Will I ever know? Probably not. Not without some sort of court case. But I'm convinced they're getting paid.
Yeah.
No. Switch is just big. Like, I don't think PlayStation would even try that. But even if they did, I think they're way, way too big.
Yeah, well, and then a lot of these games, too, these older RPGs or turn-based RPGs, in my opinion, are perfect for the Switch.
They are.
You know?
Yeah,
because you can just go there, like you said, not doesn't require a bunch of power. You can go and play a little bit, play a round or two, pause it, put it back in your pocket, and keep moving.
Keep it moving. Or when you travel or whatever. Exactly, man. Exactly. But my, like I said, I had a lot of Square games on my list, but now they're just all in the discount list. Like, I'll just wait. Like, I don't care. Like, because the new rhythm game I was really excited for, which has day one DLC, if I'm not mistaken, too. Talk about going back to the Capcom trash era. But the music's good, so, you know. I was going to pay for that. There's the Octopath stuff I was going to pay for. But if you can't release Pixel Remaster physically properly or release the game on the games on Xbox, I just don't think I want to support you anymore, at least not at full price.
Yeah, well, you can always buy it used, too, and that's a real
thing. Really, just exactly, bro. Like, I have no more desire to interact with Square like that. Like, to just slap around your fans who are desperately trying to give you money. I'm just not about that action. I mean, I bought Dio Field day one.
Yeah, what's so weird too, right? Yeah, because so Star Ocean, I don't know, and Dio Field on Xbox. I don't know a lot of people who even know those games, man. You know,
yeah, the last Star Ocean that was great.
Star Ocean, story. Really? Like,
yeah.
Like, that was like the Persona when Persona 2 was out. You know, like, not a lot of people know Star Ocean. So I don't get Dio Field or Star Ocean. And then what's really interesting, too, is the Crisis Core one. This is why I need to see, or I'd love to talk to the business people who are making this decision, whether Sony is paying them or not, because it's like, okay, Sony's paying, for Final Fantasy VII, it seems pretty much Sony's paying for that, right? It's like, okay, Sony's paying you to keep Final Fantasy VII Remake PlayStation and PC exclusive, right? Or PlayStation console exclusive. But Crisis Core, which is an offspin of Final Fantasy, they didn't throw in a couple extra dollars to keep that on their console too. You know?
Yeah.
That's what's weird, right? And then it's like, okay, is Sony keeping you from Final Fantasy, but you're gonna release Dio Field and Star Ocean?
Right.
On the Xbox? Then, like, why wouldn't Sony just be like, yo, just like give us like just keep your games on our console, period, you know?
And then people are gonna take that and spin a narrative. See, that's what I hate about the internet, right? They're going to take that and spin a narrative that Xbox players don't want JRPGs. They won't talk about the Personas. They won't talk about the Scarlet Nexus. They won't talk about anything. But they'll take that, right? I'm going to call lesser tier JRPGs. If you love those games, no offense intended, right? But when you don't let the banger come, but then you'll say, well, they don't sell, bro. Well, how do we know? Every time we get a banger, they sell. Mm-hmm. Every time we get a banger, they sell, bro. Persona instantly, bro. Boom. Sold. Instantly.
Yeah. I mean, they put Chrono Cross on the Xbox. I'm looking up games that they bring over.
I bought
that
day one, by the way. And I had it physically on Switch. I bought Chrono Cross day one.
Yeah. So it's like,
and
okay,
that was a lazy remaster, by the way.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
No, definitely. You can go look at the reviews. On PC, which is where I would tell any player to get it, you can have patches that'll improve it. But on the console platform, just lazy, bro. But I did buy it day one. And this is why I hate that narrative of, if you really want them to bring games, buy them. That's not what it is. That's another reason I think they're getting paid. Because if you start bringing that banger over to Xbox, it's and again, powerful hardware is only good if a developer uses it. So I'm not going to, don't run, not you, but some listener, don't run with this the wrong way. Well, the Xbox hardware is technically more powerful. So then when you start having game parity in terms of the options to play, well, maybe somebody's hardware doesn't look as enticing. That's another reason I think they pay. Like I could break down analytically why I'm convinced that PlayStation is paying to stop a lot of things from coming to Xbox. Like it's all about their pockets, though. It's nothing about.
I'm curious, man, because that's just so much money. I just did the math real quick, and like I said, if you just sell 500,000 copies and you charge just $60 per game, that's still like $30 million,
bro. So and if it's digital, there's literally no cost to you.
Yeah. So even if you say $30 million, and let's say most of those are digital, but still you like, okay, we'll divide it by 75%, right?
Well, just do the math. So do $75 a game or a game, right? Multiply that times 500,000 sold, and then you take away something like 30%. That number looks real good, bro.
Yeah. That number looks real good. Even at 30%, that's still $11 million. And even if you say 50%, that's still $18 million.
Right. So that's with your number, because the game costs $75. But if you take your number and you say, we're going to subtract 30%, nobody, you tell me you don't want $20 million, bro?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. And that's only if you sell a half million, which again, if you sell the dream of 3 million, which most JRPGs, if they sell 3 million, bro, they're doing a dance, bro. But if you sell 3 million, because who knows what we're going to sell? We're talking about a retro game. We don't know what numbers we're looking at.
Well, I think with the remastered, I would imagine the development for that game isn't as strenuous for a Persona 5 or Final Fantasy from a ground up, right?
Well, you're going to develop it already on a certain platform, right? We knew it was coming to Switch. Like, everybody was, that was a no-brainer. We also had a feeling it was coming to PlayStation. So you're already developing it for two platforms. So why not just add a third after you have those two finished and just reap the rewards? I mean, your break-even point's got to be something like 100,000 copies at that point for the last platform. I'm convinced. I don't claim to be a developer, but I'm convinced your break-even point is really low. Anybody who's been in business school, you should know what breaking point is. If you don't, it should make common sense to you. So it's like, what are you losing by doing it? Unless you calculate your potential sales number and then have Sony foot the bill.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot, man. Bro,
it's so much. I don't know. What's crazy for me, I guess, is I don't see Sony having that much money. I guess that's what's crazy to me.
Well, and it's one of those things where I don't know what that relationship is, but. You're asking me for my opinion, and that's pretty much what all I can give is like there is something there. I don't know if it's I'm pretty sure it's we're paying you, but I'm pretty sure they're not paying the actual estimated sales cost. They're probably paying some sort of lower number than that, but something they can each agree on, which will cover what would have been Xbox sales. But I'm convinced that's what it is, bro. Or what you do is you tell them you'll lower their percentage, your percentage cut on the store. Does that make sense? So it's like, instead of paying 30%, we'll cut you. We'll only take 10 to 15 or something like that if you only release it on our platform. So that way, they're making additional money without having to cut. There's all types of business ways to do it, but I'm convinced they're all going on, bro. I'm convinced.
All of them.
Yeah, that every machination you can drum up, I'm convinced Sony's doing, because Xbox fans are clamoring for these games. Which is why I tell people, like, be careful if you're a plastic box loyalist and not a gamer. Because what you'll end up doing is you'll end up hurting the things you claim you love, right? And we've covered this on many shows before, but I have a feeling JRPGs aren't going to be as prominent going forward. Why? Because according to Square, for example, the games aren't hitting their target numbers. And when games are hitting the target numbers, now those projects are harder to get greenlit. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to wonder where that genre went all of a sudden. You're like, where'd the genre go? I love the genre. Where is it at? And it's gone because you were so busy trying to make sure your plastic box won as opposed to gaming as a whole one. But Square, they're on one, bro. I'm like I said, I'm not going to say I'll never buy anything because that would be extreme, but it will be on a discount. Mark my words.
I believe you. That's a good choice. Yeah, dude, Patrick, I discount that. Get that discount parking bin.
I am scorned at this point. I am stung. You got me, Square. You finally get a company. Finally got me.
Yep. Yeah. Salt Earth over Square. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Scorched Earth. Scorched Earth. Exactly. Earth. Yep. Yeah. Exactly. It's true. It's true, bro.
Okay. So Patrick, let's move on and real quick, let's talk about kind of online games or mostly online games potentially. Or the risk of them losing their servers. This is kind of the overarching theme I want to talk about here. And this is spurred on by the fact that Epic Games announced last Wednesday that their, quote, out-of-date online servers, services and servers for older games will be shutting down. So this is going to be the first three Rock Band games that had online servers alongside Unreal Gold, Unreal Tournament 3, and a bunch more. Essentially, but the big ones obviously are Rock Band and Unreal Tournament. Now, there's always an argument that I'm sure, especially with the Rock Bands, I'm not sure if a lot of people are going to be playing online, especially 1 through 3. They did say Rock Band 4 will remain online, but there's also all the specialty Rock Bands, so the Green Days mm-hmm. and the Beatles Rock Bands are all being taken down, and a bunch of the Unreal Tournaments. So I just want to kind of talk about kind of the dangers, I don't, maybe not the dangers, or the unfortunate reality that we now live in, Patrick, where if you have a primarily online game, I'm talking about a lot of your shooters, so your Overwatches in particular, Halo, Call of Duty, Apex Legends, right? Mm-hmm. At some point in this, in our lifetime, these games will cease to exist properly. At least a big portion of these games will cease to exist. So for example now that, yes, Overwatch 2 is free, but if for some reason you had Overwatch 1, especially physically, that game is now a paperweight. Right. Because you can't play it. There's no, I mean, there might be like an offline practice or anything, but there's no split screen or anything like that. So even something like Apex, if the popularity starts to die down on it, and maybe 20, 30 years from now, you'd be like, oh, I remember, you know, talking to your kids or talking to this young generation of gamers, you know, the next generation of gamers, like, oh, this game was awesome. It was called Apex. You had this, you had that. They're like, oh, can you play? You could be like, no. And that's, I don't know. When this announcement came out, Patrick, I got kind of a little bit sad. Now, once again, I can't really justify or say like, oh no, Epic, keep paying for, keep these servers open, especially because I don't own or play any of these games at all. But it is something that's to be, I don't know, worrisome about. Funny enough too, Patrick, the Supersonic Acrobatic Rocket Powered Battle Car Service is going down, and that is the prequel
to the Rocket League.
Rocket League. Oh
yeah,
so.
I know all about that. Yeah, that is kind of funny actually. It's crazy, and this is why I have such a tough time paying extreme amounts of money into those ecosystems, because there's no offline game to be played. Does that make sense? Like, there's no land version of
Apex.
Yeah, when they decide, hey man, we're gonna shut these servers down, it's over. Doesn't matter what gear you had. Doesn't matter if you want to play. In most instances, maybe there's some that I'm not thinking of, but in most instances, it's just kind of done. That was the cool thing about the old Call of Duty games, is they still had a LAN option.
Yes.
But you could fire up, you know, Black Ops 2 or Black Ops, whatever, you know, any, just about any of them in the first two generations. So 360, Xbox One. First two generations, meaning from Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 forward. And still play the game right now. Like, you could set up your own LAN party right now with a bunch of consoles and play. Mm-hmm. But most games don't have that. So you're sitting there, you're buying this game, and if it's online and includes a server connection or whatever, next thing you know, it could just be, you're done. Like, thanks for buying the game. Thanks for your money. It's a wrap. And this is why.
Time to.
Yeah, yeah. And this is that you can't go revisit those memories. So you spend all this time and you can't even go, like, if you, like you said, right? Like, so you have kids or something, you're like, oh, I used to play this game. You can't even show them because it's done. This is why digital gaming to me is something I'm always very trepidatious towards, because when you, once you start moving to, I buy a license to play, you're actually, in essence, respectfully speaking, buying nothing. And a lot of people say,
renting a game that you have to return one day.
Or they can take from you one day.
Yeah.
And this is why I warn people, because people will be like, well, you buy physical games thinking you got the whole game. Well, a physical game collector like myself will research that. That's something I will investigate when I go to buy a physical game.
At worst, too, Patrick, the worst case scenario, at least you get part of the game.
Right? Like if it's a trilogy or something, a lot of times you'll get the highlight of the trilogy or something. The other two will be downloads. I mean, there's all types of breakdowns. But that's why, like I said, that's why I didn't buy Control Ultimate Edition for Xbox, because instead of adding a second disc, they put a download, a one-time download on the box. And I was like, no, I don't want that. When I buy something physical, I want a physical. Now, there's some exceptions to my collection. Like, for example, the Spyro trilogy, I believe, only has one game. But I got that on extreme discount. So it's like, okay, well, I know it only has one game on the disc, but I got that at a huge discount. That's why. Right? So, like, there's things, if you're truly a physical gamer like myself or collector, I wouldn't call myself the most hardcore collectors, but nonetheless, I like physical media. Patrick,
I think you'll be surprised. I'm sorry to interrupt you. I think you would at least be in the top 5 or 10% of gaming game collectors.
I'll give you that. I'll give you top 5-10%. I'll give you that. I'm not top 1 or 2. You know, like I've looked at some people who make me look like a amateur over here. You know what I mean? That's what I meant. But you're probably right. I mean.
Yeah, compared there's fewer of those people and a lot more people who just buy one game a year.
Yeah, or three. It's three games a year. But you're right. On average, in comparison to the majority of people who game, I'm definitely in the upper echelon. I'll give you that.
Top tier, Patrick. I'm trying to say you're top tier, okay?
Yeah, exactly. But my only point is when you start looking at things, pardon me, in the digital marketplace, and you say, okay, well, I'm going to get this game, invest in this ecosystem, and then they cut the servers off. You're just done, man. Like, you're literally done. Like, there's nothing you can do unless they patch it to where you can run your own server or have some other means. You're just at a loss. And it's even when those games are really fun, a la Apex, right? Like, I'm a big Apex fan. Big, obviously. If they never incorporate that, then all I did was spend money into nothingness, which is why I can't spend a lot of money there. I'll spend some on occasion, but nothing like Rocket League or something like that. And Rocket League's another case. What I will say, though, is before Epic took over Rocket League, before Rocket League is where it was today, you could play with your friends in an offline mode. You probably remember that because we did. You could play with your friend offline. You could just set up at somebody's house and play Rocket League. Mm-hmm. Today, on the other hand, I don't think you still do that because of the Epic kind of piece there. But at least there was an option. You know, a lot of games are going away from that. And it's really kind of sad because I see where these companies want to move gaming. But the thing I would stress to any consumer or customer out here is that, yo, man, you want my money, you got to give me these options. But the thing is, the average gamer doesn't think about it. It's just a fact. They just play the games in the moment they're in. They're not thinking like, oh, man, at one point this game might be offline or whatever. But yeah, and as we've talked about before, and I'll restate one more time, that's why I don't spend a lot of money, because I feel like I'm throwing my money into a black hole.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing I can do with it once you could shut your servers down. You see what I mean? I could play Persona, like tomorrow, if I play Persona 5 Royal, as long as I have my save file, I could play some more Persona 5 Royal. I could play a new game plus, I could do whatever, right? Tomorrow you shut Apex down, bro, I can't even do nothing, because it connects when you turn the game on.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's done. So... Well, I think customers need to be very aware of where we're going with that and kind of ward off against it. And I'm not one to acquiesce very easily. What I'll do is leave that game or that genre alone before I acquiesce in terms of gaming, where you say, well, you can't have nothing physical. Well, I'll just go play my retro collection. I'm over 2000. I'm good. Or my game collection, right? But I'm not going to just be like, no, because companies sometimes think they have a product you can't leave. I've even left Apex before.
You left Square, technically.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like I said, I'll leave anybody, bro, if you try to do things I think that are unfair or bad business practices. And this won't be any different. But I just hope people are paying attention to what's going on and what they're investing into. I like live services games. Don't get me confused. I enjoy them quite a bit. But if you're not going to have the way for me to play the game long term or always have to be sitting here on pins and needles, and then the game could just be cut off. That's a problem. What was that game that came out when Overwatch came out that got destroyed?
Oh, man, I don't know.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Oh, yes, you do. God, I'm spacing on the name. I remember when they shut the services down for, I think it was a Cliffy B game.
Was it like that weird like shooter with like
it was another teleporters? Hero shooter? I'll look it up when you give your thoughts. But that was another one where it was just like, yeah, man, about that. You know, like, sorry, game's gone. It's over. Enjoy. And I was just like, I can't believe, like, Lawbreakers. Lawbreakers.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that. I was like, yeah, like, they did it, and it went off quick, right?
Yeah, bro. It was like, I remember it came out right around the time Overwatch hit, and it just got trounced.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because this, I don't know, it looked interesting.
No, it did. I'm not saying the game was bad, but I'm just saying, like, that's another example of they shut it down. Now what do you do? What about the game recently? Babylon's Fall. Uh-huh. The disc is about to be a paperweight, right?
Yep.
So it's like, if you have that disc, it's going to be a memory of the time a company released Babylon's Fall.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I'm like, yo, there's a time where you have to be careful. And this is an era we're in, right? If that's your genre, I understand. If FPS, for example, is your genre, or MMO is your genre, I kind of get it. But you have to be careful because you're always on that cusp of,
yeah,
they can shut me out of
what
the game.
What is it? Obscurity of irrelevance? Is that the word
I'm irrelevance?
Talking about? Yeah. Yeah,
obscurity or just termination.
Yeah, or yeah, that's fine.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So it's a thing that I often warn people about. And again, I'm not hating on what anybody likes. Like what you like. I like live service games too. But that's why I'm very skittish on what I jump into. Does that make sense? Because if I jump into that, then I'm like, yo, and next thing you know, you're you know what I'm saying? Your money's all gone and you yep. have nothing to play. The cool yep. thing about it, this is why I'm such a physical gamer, and with my library, as you've seen, and I've seen some a good portion of yours, is all those games I can still go play.
Mm-hmm.
A server shutdown doesn't end gaming for me. It just ends that game. And I think companies, that's why they're trying to move to digital space. Even Microsoft had to do kind of a little bit of a 180 per se, where you don't have to do an online check for your physical disk anymore. Because it used to be a DRM that they had where you put a physical disk in and it had to check online first. Even if the whole game was on the disk and fans mm-hmm. were like, yo, that's not cool. Like, I bought a physical disk to have a physical game. If the whole game's on disk, what are we doing? And they went back on it. So now you can just load in your physical disk because that's the heart of what gaming is. It's what it's always been.
Yeah.
And I know people want, you know, companies, more so than people, want it to change. And I get it. There's been some innovations in the space, but to, you know, I don't think you can ever eliminate the heart of what it is. And PC players accept it wholeheartedly, but they've been burned too, you know, in certain areas. So that's why I'm kind of old school in that regard. I just hope we don't lose that. You know what I mean? I hope we're cognizant of giving, because sometimes it's like giving away a right, and I'm not getting political, but it's like you're giving away your ability to play a game, and then I don't want somebody to wake up one day and realize they don't have the ability to play any games they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
I agree with you, Patrick.
Yeah, just my two cents on it. I just hope things don't continue to trend in that direction in their entirety. I'm not saying everybody wants to be all digital, and I'm not, no aspersions on those people. Do what you want to do, but for me, I'm not a fan. You know what I mean? Of it entirely.
Yeah,
I get the benefits. I have a lot of digital games, but not fully. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think something that you can really work or a quick workaround, at least I guess I'm not, once again, I know we say this a lot, I'm not a game developer, but a workaround that I see is just making all multiplayer games land in some capacity, right?
Or having an option.
Just having an option. So it's like, Apex That's goes down, you thing. Might not be able to get a full server per se, but maybe you can still hop on with, you know, 15, 20 friends or whatever, you know, five teams of three or, you know, whatever. And you can still jump into a match and play a little bit with just that. You know, same thing with like Halo or Call of Duty. It's like, hey, or even Rocket League. From a little bit of research I was doing, it seems like you can do Rocket League land on PC maybe. But, okay. You know, something just simple like that where it's like, okay, hey, like, let's just, we have a router. We don't need the internet though. Let's all just bam and go.
And to be clear, I know a lot of listeners may not, understand why I say that, but I give you a great story. In Korea and in Iraq, as a matter of fact, we ran Halo on LAN because we didn't have internet connections of the first world, right? We were in war zones, or in Korea, a lot of us didn't have internet, so we would just get on a LAN party and the whole barracks or all our shoes would play.
Mm-hmm.
We would play a giant Halo LAN match and talk trash and have the time of our lives. So we could still be gamers. even though we may not have had the you know, all the latest updates or whatever, but yeah, like, you know, but we could at least play and still be. And shout out to who was it that makes Gears of War?
God,
the company's name right now. I apologize. I'm sure you'll tell me in a second.
Yeah,
but a friend of mine, we were in Iraq, and he reached out to them. Friend of mine named Matt. I won't give his last name because he doesn't know I'm telling the story. But he reached out to them, and he was like, "Man, look, I'm in Iraq, and I'd really like to play." I know what years we went to Iraq, but I forget. But just
probably two or three, right?
Yeah, I would assume it's one of those. And he reached out to them and was like, "Hey, I'd really like to play these updates, but man, but I can't buy them. Like I'm in Iraq, bro." And they sent him a disc with the updates on them and said, "Look, all we ask, real true story, is like, please just don't sell this or like don't screw us." And he didn't. Don't screw us over. And he didn't. And he played the updates.
Yeah, the company who makes it, or the studio who makes it, is the Coalition. Which,
yeah, Coalition,
I guess Epic had a hand in this too. I did not know. Epic Games.
Yeah, and so just shout out to them. But there are people, a lot of times gamers forget because they think every gamer is the same, which is why I come on here and try to say that, you know, I know I'm different than the average gamer, right? So, like, but that was a way he could at least play those updates. So we're having LAN parties. He, you know, he can still at least play the game he really wants to play. And the company was real cool. There are a lot of stories out there of people who don't have necessarily the internet connection but still want to enjoy these great games. I couldn't imagine what it would have been like if we could have had a LAN party of Apex, bro. It might have popped off, man.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been like, you know, man, just totally awesome. So like,
it would have been fun.
Oh, my God, dude. Because Halo was super fun, bro. And there was people better than me, for sure. I mean, I'm forgetting old boy's name. What is his name? I can't remember his name, but he was really good. Like, he was the truth. He would talk trash and tell him. He'd be like, "Yo, I'm telling you, like, I'm real good, bro. I'm gonna destroy y'all." And he did too. And then I remember telling him, because we played Modern Warfare, you know. And I remember I said, "You're gonna beat me on these like spacey shooters, bro. So you're always gonna beat me on these science fiction games. We get on Call of Duty, I'm rinsing you fools." And sure enough, Modern Warfare 4, I destroyed him, bro. It was great. But yeah, but just keep that in mind. You know, there are other gaming scenarios, and companies have tended to go away from LAN, which I'm not a fan of. But there are other gaming scenarios that people need, you know, to experience the same joy you do.
100%. Okay, Patrick, I agree with you there. Hopefully, we don't go too far into the digital space, and if we do, maybe we'll still hopefully have that just JRPG that we can
at least
go
not
and
at
play.
The detriment of the physical space. That's yeah.
For sure. All right, Patrick. Well, that's going to wrap up our show for today. Anything else you would like to add before we wrap up?
No. Just glad we could do the show. It's been another good one. Hopefully we can enjoy ourselves. I do want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, a Happy Holidays. Whatever it is you celebrate, I just hope you can enjoy the time with loved ones, family, friends, and have a nice, relaxing holiday. Because as we say, we won't be here with you next week. But I promise you, we'll be gaming.
100%, Patrick. We'll use this break to game. I want to thank everybody for listening. If you have a question for the podcast, you can email us at gamingtimes09. If you have, you want to connect with me or reach out to me, have any questions, you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_IDK. Patrick, where can the people find you?
You can email me at gamingtimespatrick@gmail.com. You can find me on Twitter at timespat.
I want to thank everybody for listening, and happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays. And remember, joy gaming.